All right, let's be real. What has been the hardest thing about your pregnancy and postpartum journey? Is it the postpartum painful sex that nobody talks about? What are you supposed to do with that? Is it the fact that you might have torn during delivery and you have no idea how to heal now that you're in postpartum? Welcome to the Onas podcast, where we bring on mothers, parents, and pregnant postpartum individuals to talk about their journey and their experiences to give that knowledge back to people that need it. And we are also attached to theonascollaborative.com, which is a free online educational directory where we help moms and parents connect to maternity care providers in their local area. We are here to give the power back to you guys so you have a choice in your journey. We'll have space for midwives, doulas, pelvic floor PTs, massage therapist. And as we continue expanding, we hope that we can support you. All right, we hope you enjoy this podcast. Welcome back to the Onas podcast. My name is Erin. I am your host and also the founder. I live in Canberra, Australia. I feel like not a lot of people know that. This week has been pretty good, but this week we have Elle on the podcast. Elle is a mother from Perth, Australia, and she is actually talking to us today about her experience with her pregnancy, birth, and postpartum here in Australia and telling a bit about her story and her C-section. So we're super excited to have her on, and she also gives a few tips on her postpartum support, like dealing with mastitis. So we hope you all enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, for sure. So my name's Elle. Other than being a full-time mum, I have just started up a photography and videography business for weddings, which is pretty cool. It kind of came out of nowhere, but I really enjoy that. Something to do on the side when I want a little bit of a break. Yeah, we live in Perth, Western Australia, and I've got my husband who's been awesome. Been married for coming up to 3 years, which is pretty crazy. But we've known each other for like 10 years, which is even better. And yeah, we have a little boy called Atlas. He is 7.5 months now and just a bundle of joy. We love him.
Yeah, I love that. And what inspired you to go into photography?
To be honest, it actually came out super random. Like, it was my best friend's wedding and she was like, hey, can you just set up a camera to record the ceremony? And I was on the bridal party and my husband was just sort of attending and he was like, oh, why don't we actually try and make a thing of it? And we really enjoyed making up a video together and boom. And then we just loved it. And then a few of our friends wanted us to take some photos and we loved like how much we like working together was awesome. I don't know, and just celebrating love and like capturing people on that day where like they're the happiest and just in awe of one another, something special about it that you just, it's almost like a little secret window into their little love bubble. So yeah. I don't know, it's just something special that we love to do. And yeah, it's now we have actual business, which is really cool.
Yeah. And so your husband actually does it with you.
Yeah, so we're like two peas in a pod, basically. Like one without the other. So yeah. We always love to go in together, which is always good because, like, you do get a bit nervous just because you want to do a good job. So you can always hype each other up, which is really cool. But, yeah, like, he loves the film side of things and probably more of, like, the photos. But together, I like to think we make a really good combo. Like, we couldn't edit without the other one's opinion. Otherwise, we wouldn't agree.
Yeah, but that's a fun, like, family business you get to create and you get to do it together and like celebrate love, and I just think that'd be super fun and exciting.
Yeah, no, it is really good. So special. I feel so honored as well. Like, I never thought we'd ever be doing it, but it's the best thing. Like, I'm like, oh, never going back to retail ever again.
So is that what you did before?
A while back, before I got pregnant, I actually was a carer for people with disabilities, which was also, I really enjoyed as well. I've got a little soft spot for people like that. But yeah, like, I don't know, this is just fun. And you can, like, it's also allows me to be creative, which I also need to thrive. Like, I need that outlet. Otherwise I go a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's really fun. We love it.
And did you start your photography business before you became pregnant with Atlas?
No, it was actually while I was quite heavily pregnant.
Of course.
So I'd be struggling around these fields with this massive belly being like, okay, like, let's do this thing.
So cute though. I love it. Actually, I don't know if I've seen any pictures of you pregnant. I'll have to go through your Instagram later.
It's just started out, but we're getting there.
And so today we wanted to talk a little bit about basically, yeah, your pregnancy, your birth story. A lot of people that listen to this podcast are, well, because we only recently introduced them to Australia like last week. So a lot of our listeners are also American. So your experience will also be very, very different. Like a 7 month long maternity leave is not heard of in the US. So be very excited to talk about this. So how about you tell us a bit about your pregnancy? Like, what were your symptoms like? Did you have, you know, morning sickness or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. So it actually caught me off guard because little Atlas was a bit of a surprise for us. let's just say I asked the wrong people for their opinions and advice and got pregnant pretty quickly. So I come off the pill and it was so funny. I was like trying to convince my husband, no, like I just have a late period. No, this is all symptoms, part of my period. Like, don't be silly. And he was like, no, like, I think you're pregnant. And I was like, no, like, I can't be pregnant. You can't get pregnant like this. And he was adamant. So I was like, look, I will prove to you I'm not pregnant. Let's go get a test and we'll sort this out. And joke's on me, took the test and it was very much positive. He was super excited. It took me a little bit to come around just because I like to think I'm pretty chill, but big life events, I like to have a bit of control. So yeah, it was a bit of a shock for me, but it didn't take long for me to come back around and be excited. So yeah, but my pregnancy, wow, it seemed like such a long time ago, but I think my first cravings, funny enough, before I realized I was pregnant, was barbecue chicken wings. I just had to have them. I don't know what it was. I needed them, so I made him go to the supermarket at like 10 o'clock and get me some barbecue chicken wings. But it's the funny thing is, like, as soon as you have them, like, you repulse them after. It's so strange.
Now you don't like them at all?
No. Not at all. It's so weird. And then after that, I don't know if you guys or you'd have it where you are, but all I could have was boost juice in my first trimester. I couldn't stomach anything else.
What is it?
It's called boost juice. It's basically just like a smoothie franchise.
Oh, I have seen it. Yep, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So every day at work, when I worked in retail at Quiksilver, I would get a boost juice. And I'm surprised none of my colleagues noticed because I always really not buy it because it's ridiculously expensive to get one every single day at work.
Yeah.
You know, I got one every single day and that was that.
And so was that throughout your entire pregnancy you craved that?
Basically my first and second trimester, because I never got morning sickness. I just felt quite ill, like I needed to sort of vomit, but it never really happened. So that was the frustrating part because I couldn't believe that. But once I got to my third trimester, I was pretty good. I was just tired basically most of the time. Like, I never got that second trimester buzz where you're like, woo, I've got my energy back, I feel great. I felt like, whoa.
And so did you decide to go with a midwife for your birth?
So what we have here, so basically, because he was a little surprised, we didn't have like insurance or anything like that, so there's this thing called Perth Pregnancy Center over here, and they are honestly a godsend. They are the loveliest women. So basically it's a center where there's all these different midwives. It's a free program and they just sort of give you checkups, give you advice, they offer classes and stuff like that. And because my first experience when I found out I was pregnant, I actually went to the GP and I did not have a good experience. Basically left crying and feeling like I've done all the wrong things. Basically after I found out I was pregnant, I felt like I was already behind on like vitamins and all of that. And so it was super refreshing to actually go to someone who's like willing to listen and not just treat you as like a number, like another number, but really like someone with all these hormones and emotions and stuff like that. So they were really, really lovely. And I was with them up until the very end, except they just don't go to the hospital with you.
Okay. So there you have the center where you go for all of your prenatal, and then for birth, you go to the hospital.
Yeah, and then you just sort of get your lucky pick of who's working at the time to get your midwife there.
How did you feel about that?
Like, I honestly, because to me, at the start, I wanted to be like, oh no, like if I don't know anything, I'll just go in being naive and it'll be good to go. And then halfway through my pregnancy, I was like, what am I doing? I need to know everything. So I basically feel like I'm a pro when it comes to anything birth related. Mm-hmm. So I just educated myself. So the good thing was I could ask my midwives anything beforehand. And then going in, I kind of didn't really stress about who it was because I knew what they would be talking about, and I knew I had like options and I had my own opinion. I could have a voice and be like, no, I don't want this. Well, I like, could I try this instead? So I think that's a really important thing, is to know everything, what they could talk about, so you understand what your options are. And like, because like hospitals are great, but the public system, like they don't really travel based on your clock. They go on their clock, and like they want you in and out. So I find if you know your options, you can have a way better experience and go by your own clock and, I don't know, labor in your own time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, education is huge. So I'm really glad that you got that from your midwives outside of the hospital. Yeah.
I think it was so good for my husband as well, because I love him, but he was not ready to pick up a book or listen to a podcast or anything like that. So the classes they offered were really good because they just covered everything very basic. So then he could at least understand most of it as to what was happening from A, B, C, and then the baby's there.
Yeah. And did you know that Alice was going to be a boy?
Yes, yes. I had to find out. I wish I could be that mom that was like, oh, no, I'd love a surprise. But no, no, I needed to know.
And did you have a feeling at all before you found out, like officially, whether or not it was a boy or girl?
No, that's the thing. Everyone would ask me and be like, so do you have like a little intuition? And I was like, to be honest, all I feel is kicks and all kicks and hiccups. And yeah, I didn't get anything. I was secretly hoping it was going to be a boy because I always wanted the first one, like to be the older brother and all that. So I was pretty lucky there. But yeah, no, I had no idea.
Okay, and so when you finally went into labor, how about you tell us a bit about your labor and delivery?
Oh gosh, okay. So I had written up my whole labor plan or birth plan, printed it out, laminated it, the whole shebang. And basically I was pretty open, so if I needed like 10 painkillers, I'll take it. But my main goal was to see how far my body could go as naturally as I could go, just to out of like testing the waters, basically. So I went in thinking, oh yeah, no, I've got this. So basically I was GBS positive, so my water broke early hours of the morning, and so I had to go to the hospital straight away. And generally when you're GBS positive, they want to induce you, but I really did not want to be induced, which they didn't love. So I called up my midwives and I was like, hey, like, what do I do? Because they're really pushing for me to be induced. And they're like, oh, if they're offering you time, take it. So they basically said you have a safe window of 24 hours. So then I was like, great, I'm going to take those 24 hours and walk around this ward, do 100 laps, whatever I need to do to get this baby out by myself. So, and also because of, it was on the back end of COVID, Aaron could only stay with me for visiting hours. So then I had to stay by myself overnight laboring.
Are you serious?
So that wasn't fun, but you got to do what you got to do.
So he's only allowed to really be there for the delivery.
Basically, yeah. So if you're not in the delivery room, he can't stay unless it's visiting hours.
And that's not because of COVID. Is that because of COVID?
It was because of COVID, basically, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. So that was hard. But the midwives there were so lovely. Like they were very supportive. And I think because I look about 12, they probably thought I was 12. So they were extra caring, which was lovely. So I went through the night laboring and I just put on my music, put some fairy lights up, and was just doing my thing on my ball and getting on the good feels, hoping the baby would come down. And basically by the time my 24 hours was up, he was only, I think, like 5 centimeters. So basically he wasn't going to come when he needed to come. So I was just like, okay, look, let's just do it. Like, induce me. We've got to do what we've got to do. We've got to keep him safe.
Mm.
And took me back to the ward, to the birthing suite, so Aaron could come back in. And then they did the cannulas, and they failed 3 times, unfortunately. So every time it would cause like this massive cold bubble on my arm, and I'd be like, is this normal? And basically,
sorry, just what is that? What is it called?
It's called a cannula. It's basically that fat needle that goes into your arm.
Or your hand. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. I think because by that stage, I was pumped with all these antibiotics because of the GBS. I was really puffy, so it kept on like getting pushed out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so that was that. And then they were inducing me, which was good. And so I was just sort of doing my thing again. And then they noticed that every time I had a contraction, like the monitor would sort of stop really working and they couldn't really hear his heartbeat.
Oh.
And then, so instead of doing those bands on my belly, they did an internal thing and attached it to Atlas's head so that they could get like a direct read from his heart rate.
Yeah.
And so that happened for like another couple hours. And they noticed, oh, every time I had a contraction, like his heart rate would go down again. And so they kept on turning me, rolling me, trying to get him like free of like the cord or whatever it was. And it just sort of went downhill from there. And they're like, look, this isn't going well. And you have so much further to go. These are still only very minor contractions compared to what 10 centimeters would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, what are my options? I kept saying like, what are my options? What do you think is best? Like, what's safe? And they're like, we'll give you an hour, and if it gets better, great. If not, then we'll probably have to start looking at like an emergency caesar. And I was like, what? Like, the only thing I didn't prepare for was a cesarean. I was like, are you kidding me? But so we took the hour and it just got worse. And I was like, look, like, do what you're gonna do. So as soon as that happens, and as soon as you say yes and sign the papers, you're literally in theater within 5 minutes. And Aaron had his scrubs on. And at this stage, I'm not going to lie, I think I was in a bit of shock after like the ordeal of like laboring by myself and then not feeling defeated, but I was super tired by now. And even if I was to go like get him through the canal, I would be so exhausted. And so they got him out. So I was on the table and then they said, oh, don't stress. Like, we'll do the whole Lion King thing, raise him up so you can see him over the curtain. And I was like, cool, cool, cool. Because you're like strapped to a table, and especially because I had the shakes from all like the like medication and stuff they were giving me, my body was like in shock and I had like the shakes, so they had to strap me down, which wasn't fun.
Wow.
And then yeah, but Aaron could be by my head, and so he was trying to chill me out. And then so once they're like, okay, he's about to come out, the room just went silent, and I was like, oh, where's my baby? And no one said anything, and I was like, oh no, Aaron, can like you see him? And he was like, oh, they've taken him over to the other side of the room. I don't know what's happening. And I was asking the doctor, and they're like, they're just trying to help him breathe. Like, it's all good. And everything was still silent. It felt like ages, but I think it was only like a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But basically Atlas had the cord wrapped around his neck twice in the womb, and he was under distress and swallowed
Marconium?
There we go.
No, I always like, I'm pretty much my daughter that time.
So he'd swallowed that, and so he actually needed resuscitating. And so yeah, that happened. And then after a few minutes they brought him over and he was good to go. And then after that he had to go to the NICU because his temperature was going up and down, and they didn't really love that, but it was basically just because of the stressful birth that he went through. And so he just had to be watched. So I had to stay in bed for a while and couldn't see him, but Aaron could go visit him whenever he wanted because that was 24 hours, which was good. But yeah, and then after that, I got him. And then from there, we're good. Once we got over that, we're good.
Wait, okay. Elle, we're going to go back. How do you feel about this, about your birth?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't think I could talk about, I didn't talk about it for a solid week after. Mm-hmm. And until my best friend rung me because she lives over east, and she was like, oh, so what happened? And I'm not a crier, like I don't cry, but I literally broke down in tears trying to explain like my story, because I think I think I'm still in shock because I'm very much a person that I'm very independent and I like to do things my way, or like just I like to just try. Mm-hmm. And I think I felt like I failed a little bit, which now I look back and I'm like, wow, no, like you did what you had to do to get your baby out alive. Like, thank you for like modern medicine for that. But yeah, it did take me a little while to get over it. I don't know if it was just like post-traumatic stress. I don't know. Like, it was just a bit intense, I think.
Yeah. I mean, a lot happened. I mean, you went from like having the GPS and then, you know, like you thought, oh, I'm just going to have, you know, this natural birth, everything's going to be fine, to like, okay, no, we're going to need to like give you a C-section. And your husband's also not there. So were you not allowed to have anyone with you at all?
Oh, no, Aaron was allowed to come into theater during the cesarean.
Oh, no. Before that, like when you were laboring.
Oh, no. So no one could be there except for the midwives and this other lady that I was sharing a room with for a little bit. But, yeah, which was a bit sucky, but, like, I can't really change it now. So I just sort of buddied up with the midwives that were on staff, and they were all really lovely, which was really good.
Yeah. And did they explain to you when you were having your C-section, when you were shaking, did they explain to you that was because of the medication?
Yeah, because Aaron was a bit concerned because he was like, why is she convulsing? And they were like, oh, don't worry, like it's normal. And I was like, okay. I think I was just, it was just a bit of a whirlwind. I didn't really know what was happening because I was just sort of scooped up from my room on this table, like needle in the back, and then all of a sudden I couldn't feel anything, and I was like, okay, this is happening. And then I was like, oh, my baby's actually going to be here in like a couple minutes, which was insane.
Yeah. And then they ended up resuscitating him.
Yeah,
that was a bit terrifying, I imagine.
Yeah, I think it was probably a good thing I didn't know what was happening at the time, because I think it would have been stress and wanting to be over there, but I literally couldn't because I wouldn't be able to move.
Yeah.
But I think because he was okay after and they just told me what happened after, I think I was like, holy moly, like that happened? Like, what a little champ. Like, I can't believe he persevered.
Yeah. And so he had marconium, but since he was brought back to you within 24 hours, I'm assuming that it wasn't as bad as they thought it was.
Well, he didn't come back. You're right. Yes, you're correct. Yes. It was basically the first, like, I think 4 or 5 hours, which they just monitored him because his temperature kept dropping. And after that, he was fine.
Were you allowed to see him when he was in the NICU?
Well, I actually couldn't leave my room. And I don't think my bed could fit because I couldn't walk still, and they didn't want to move me for some reason. I didn't know what that was for. So that was a bit hard because I kept on asking the midwives, oh, how's he going? And that was one thing I was a bit disappointed because they didn't really know, because obviously the shift change of nurses and stuff, they weren't really sure which one was my baby and all sorts. But the good thing was I had Aaron keeping me updated because that room was 24 hours, so he could stay there for as long as he wanted. And so he would secretly just pop back into my room and be like, oh, yeah, like, no, he's good. Like, he's on the mend. There's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm glad at least he was able to kind of keep you updated on what was going on.
Yeah, definitely.
So when they brought him to you at 24 hours, what happened next?
I was just so recovering basically in the room, and then he would be sleeping next to me in his little cot thing. And I think I was in the hospital for 3 days, just because if anyone who's had a cesarean, respect, like there's this whole stigma where it's like the easier option, but holy guacamole, yeah. Like the recovery sucks. Like, I'm not gonna lie. And I didn't realize you could ask for more medication. And then one midwife was like, have you had any like painkillers? And I was like, not yet. And she was like, oh, do you want some? And I was like, what? I can ask. So I left, 3 days later with my new little bub, which was insane. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we went home, and then that's where our postpartum journey began.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, I mean, it was a bit of an ordeal, but at the same time, you leave smiling and so happy. And yeah, it's nice to go home.
To know that, like, you and your baby are healthy.
Yeah, definitely. And like at the end of the day, like the hospital wants the best for you as well, and they're all really lovely.
That's great. And so you get home and your postpartum journey begins. So tell us all about it.
Yeah. So no one told me that the first 3 months are generally what they call the hardest. So everything was pretty fine. It was just like getting used to the whole not sleeping, and then everyone was like, you need to sleep when your baby does during the day, but then you don't want to because you're just infatuated with this thing that's sleeping. You just want to stare at all day. And then that ruins that. So then you're just a walking zombie, which is pretty well motherhood, but that's fine. My main thing I think I struggled with was breastfeeding. So Atlas is pretty good at the start, but I think he had like a small mouth or something. I don't know what it was, but breastfeeding was very painful after a couple of weeks, and I'd have like cracked, bleeding nipples, and I was doing everything. Like I was using the lanolin and I was using coconut oil and then the pads and everything, and nothing was helping. And so I didn't really love breastfeeding for a while because that was excruciating, but I was determined because I didn't get the birth I wanted. The one thing I wanted for myself was to be able to breastfeed. So that was my goal.
Yeah.
I said, whatever I have to do, I'm going to breastfeed. And yeah, that's all I had to do. When, like, on the hard days, that's just, I was trying to remember, like, no, like, I'm doing this for me. Like it's going to be better. But it got worse and worse and worse. And I ended up not really connecting with Atlas at the start because I suppose you end up associating him with pain and breastfeeding because at that age, they feed what, like, every hour to 2 hours. And then when they cluster feed, it's every half an hour. So you're like, oh my goodness, my nipples are on fire. So I ended up expressing. So I think when he was 2 months old, I ended up exclusively pumping. So he was still having my breast milk, but I'd pump instead because my nipples just needed healing. And then I was just very sort of disheartened. But I really wanted him to still have breast milk just because that's what I chose to do. And then one day, I think we were showering, and then he tried to latch, and then he got really frustrated because it's almost like he forgot to latch. And then I panicked and I was like, no, you can't forget. Like, this is not the After that, I was like, nope, we're just breastfeeding. We're just breastfeeding. And then after that, it was fine. Like, now he can breastfeed fine, and I haven't had to pump, which is awesome.
I wonder what changed.
Yeah, I think he just got a bit bigger. Like, and I don't even know, but it was a hard process for the first couple of days, him trying to figure out latching again. But like I said, that's the one thing I wanted for me. And when I'm determined, I get what I want when I want to do it. Like, I like to think I'm pretty determined like that. But yeah, now I'm so glad that we did that in the end because breastfeeding, it's so easy and so magical. And like, you just, it's another connection. And I don't know, it's just so lovely. I love it.
And do you think he had a tongue tie or anything originally?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I went to so many different people and asked, like, how's my latch? And the most frustrating thing would be, like, he'd latch so perfectly when I'd go to any kind of appointment. As soon as I left, it'd be like square one. And like, he'd show off for them and then be like, hey, just kidding. Like,
We're back to this, mom. Good luck.
yeah, and a little cheeky wants it, but. I'm glad that he's got it down pat now. I
It's
don't
so
know if I can
far.
continue.
Yeah. So far, breastfeeding's gone much better now that you've gone back to it from pumping.
Yes, yeah. And then the whole milk regulating thing, like I got mastitis 3 times. I am an expert at getting rid of it now before it gets worse.
What do you do to get rid of it?
So basically, because I suppose the last thing you've got to do is get on antibiotics because then that opens the door to all different kinds of things that you can end up getting. So I personally think, like, as soon as I think I'm getting it blocked up, I get into the shower for as long as the hot water will run, which is basically like an hour. And then I have like a electric face exfoliator that like buzzes, and I just put it on the blocked area in the shower, like a really hot shower, for like an hour. And then after that, every single feed, I still have the buzzer going where the blocked duct is. And then within like probably the next day, if I do that every single feed, it's gone. like, because the vibrations of it breaks up the paste like substance that happens when you get mastitis, and then it lets it all come out, which is awesome because it is not fun. Like, when I first got it, I thought I was dying.
And did your lactation consultant give you those tips, or is that something you just figured out on your own?
No, I actually had another podcast. They used an electric toothbrush, and I was like, well, I don't have one of those. So I was like, this is the next best thing. So I was ready to try anything at this point because no one could do anything for me. And they just, the GP kind of was like, all I can do is give you meds. And I tried massaging. I had other people massage my boob, and like nothing was working. And this is the only thing, hands down, that helps me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so solid tip for anyone that gets mastitis. It's worth giving it a crack.
I think a lot of people get mastitis, so I think it's a good tip. Especially if you feel from going on antibiotics, like you said, like antibiotics opens, unless you absolutely have to, it opens up so many doors to other issues later on.
Because that's what I did at the start, and then like I briefly got other things from the antibiotics, and I was like, this, no, I don't like this. I'm not doing it again.
And how did your scar from your C-section heal up?
So it was going pretty well, but it did get infected not too long after, which sort of extended the healing process. Like, even now, I couldn't go to the gym because I like to go to the gym before I got pregnant, or like even while I was pregnant. So it was one little outlet I loved doing just for my mental state. I've only joined the gym maybe like 3 weeks ago now. And that's just because my stomach, like where my scars was so painful. And like, because it's not just the first layer, it's like all these internal scarring. And it's such a weird feeling. It's almost like a pulling sensation, like even just sort of trying to sit up on your own took forever. And like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, it definitely was not how I imagined it would be like. And like, I think my body took a while to heal internally because I only just got my period back recently as well. And my stomach only had literally just gone, not back to normal, because obviously that's never going to happen, but like way less inflamed and way less swollen, and my scar's slowly not as red as much anymore, but there's still a few areas on my scar that I can't feel. But I think that's just because like they cut through a few nerves during like the surgery and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's just what happens. Like, but it's definitely getting there. Like it's a war scar. I love it. I think my frustration is that it's not straight.
What do you mean, like it's kind of cut in an angle?
Angle, like it was still like where it's supposed to be, but I don't know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I'm like, at least you could have come straight.
So in postpartum, have you been seeing the midwives or the OB that did your C-section?
So we have I've been visiting, like they're almost, I had my midwife come to me because of my cesarean. They came to my house for the first couple of weeks and also was checking my scar as well for me. And then after that, because they stop after a couple of weeks, you get like a not a midwife, but it's basically a nurse that lives in your area that you can visit. And I just went there for like bubs checkups, and they don't really know much about the scar there, but by then, like, you just go to the GP for your scar because they know what to do there.
Yeah,
like, I suppose because Atlas took a while to get his weight up, like he was a bit underweight for a while, but now he's overweight. So I've learned to be like, look, my baby is however he wants to be. Like, no baby is perfect, so they're going to gain weight when they want to gain weight, and obviously some situations are more serious than others, but he just, yeah, now he's a food lover and he's chunky.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so how are you doing? Oh, for other question. So I know that you said, I don't know where your family is. Did you have extra hand support postpartum as well? Like whether or not that was family or friends?
Yeah, so my husband actually took some time off, which was really cool, like really supportive as well, especially for him to enjoy it all as well. But my mum took, I think, a month off. and just for, because obviously when you have a cesarean you can't drive, which is fun. And I live in a small place called Nianchet, which is about half an hour from where everyone else lives and where people think life is. Oh, they're back. And yeah, so she was really lovely, and so she drove me around and just let me get out of the house, because I'm a person that I can only stay inside for a certain amount of days till I go a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And so that was really lovely. And so many friends cooked meals and delivered them, and it was, yeah, very lovely and so thoughtful.
Yeah, I love that. And how are you doing mentally postpartum?
Now I'm pretty good. Like at the start, it was a bit difficult, just because I think of my experience and like the pressure I put on myself. Sorry, I think he's just trying to find the dummy.
No, it's okay. That's fine. It's a motherhood podcast. This is normal. Usually it's like a toddler screaming in the background, like, Mom, start the next like TV show. So it's fine.
So yeah, I think it was worse because of the pressure I put on myself for what I expected, what my birth would be like, what kind of mum would be like. And because, like I said before, like no one really talks about those nitty gritty things in the first few weeks of postpartum. And so it kind of, it shocked me a little and took me by surprise. And so I thought I was doing all these things wrong. And I don't know. And like, you only hear about it if you ask those direct questions to certain types of mums who are like willing to talk about it, I suppose. And I have a couple friends, but most of my close friends don't have kids yet. So I was basically the guinea pig that is to figure it out by herself. And my mum, bless her, sucks, but she, it's been a while for her. So for her, she can't really remember. But it's definitely a lot better now. And I think after those first 3 months, you get the hang of it. And like getting back into breastfeeding was a big thing for me, because I think that was the main thing that made it really hard and made me feel a bit disconnected to Atlas at the start because of like the pain and all of that. Yeah. And you just got to get used to lack of sleep and like being a zombie. And like people ask you, like, how do you do it? And you're like, well, I don't have a choice. Like, you just got to do it. Like, it's not like someone else will step in for you.
And
definitely a lot better now.
That's good. I'm really glad that it's gotten better. So do you feel like you had a bit of baby blues before?
Looking back on it now, I think I definitely did, because it was really confusing. Like, because you're navigating this whole new lifestyle, but also all the hormones that are pumping through your body and like your body's changing, trying to get back to what it was. And I would say so, because yeah, there was stuff that you just can't really explain, and like you're like, why do I feel this way? And and I Google it, and then most of the things would be like, oh yeah, postpartum like depression or like baby blues. Like I think for me it wasn't the instant baby blues, but it was more like the postpartum, not depression, but a little bit. Like it was definitely something that I couldn't really figure out, and I was trying to explain it to my husband at the time, and he's really patient and really lovely, and he was trying to figure it out with me. But at the end of the day, they don't quite understand. They can only sort of be like, you can do it. Like, I believe in you. And he's really my cheerleader each day, which is very helpful.
And do you feel like it was something that you had a chance to talk about with your healthcare provider at all?
To be honest, like, not really, because the lady I had, like... let's just say I wasn't the biggest fan of her. And if anything, they're probably more so interested if you have a safe environment for your baby. I think their priority is the baby rather than like the mum. Yeah. So for me to be able to talk to her was a bit hard. So yeah, I suppose I was kind of navigating it by myself, because everyone else, like the mums that I do have around me, like, I don't know, I suppose you just don't really talk about it. Like, yeah, it's weird. Like, that's why I want more people to speak about it and notify other new mums, because it is normal. Like, if anything, everyone goes through it. And so to know that it will come or maybe might come, like, it's better to have the heads up than be like, ah, what is this? What am I feeling? Like, I don't understand. Is this normal?
And if you could describe any symptoms, what would you say your symptoms of it were like?
I would say my symptoms personally would be Oh, how would I explain it? I think more like, because I like to think I'm a pretty patient person, and like nothing really makes me mad or like instant like frustration. But at the time, I didn't really know who I was, because I would be triggered really easily, like whether it was from Atlas putting another feed, because I was knowing that it was going to be painful, and like I'd just be frustrated. And then I don't know, I think also the combination of like losing your identity a little bit and trying to figure out who you are now as a mum, I think you just feel a bit lost, and everything sort of feels like a big whirlwind, and you have no control. And I don't know, for me personally, I just felt lost and a bit confused and frustrated. And yeah, I can't really pinpoint it specifically, but I didn't really recognize myself at the time. And that was the frustrating part, because I didn't like the person who I was, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, your whole identity has, like, obviously you still have who you are, but then you had to add this additional identity to that. And this additional identity is taking so much of your time and energy. Yeah. Completely different.
Yeah, for sure. And before I got pregnant, I was very much a person that I needed my own space to sort of recharge, and having to re-navigate that to find other areas to recharge when I can, that was a learning curve as well. But you get there in the end, you figure it all out.
You figure out a few tools to like give yourself what you need.
Yeah, exactly. Whether it's like an ocean dip or gym session, whatever it is, like a coffee break. But just know that supermarket is not a break. I had to try. I was like, just because I go to the supermarket does not mean I enjoy it.
No, Coles and Woolies does not count as a break.
Not at all.
And if you were to give any tips to other mothers out there or pregnant people, what would your advice be? If you could think of anything off the top of your head that you would love for someone else to know.
I think the best thing, if someone told me, would be to educate yourself, not just on pregnancy and the birth, but also postpartum, and not be afraid to ask the nitty-gritty questions. Because like a lot of the times mums now I speak to say, oh yeah, we don't really talk about it because we don't want to scare them. And I'm like, well, you're not scaring them, like you're educating them. Like if anything, you're doing them a favor, and they're ready for if like those hard times come or like those hardships come. And yeah, just be open to know that you won't have control. Like as much as you think you can plan or like have a schedule or not have a schedule, whatever it is, however like you may want to do it, just be open to change and give yourself time and not put that pressure on yourself, because I know I definitely probably put the most pressure on myself than anyone else did, like including doctors and stuff, because I had this expectation as to what I'd be like, but I was not that person. So I think, yeah, just giving yourself time to heal, and whether that's like a few months or a year or a couple of years, like I feel like postpartum is forever. Like it's not just this thing that will stop, because you're constantly going to have kids that require something of you. And I think that's okay to know that you're always going to be healing and always going to be learning and always, yeah, going to be enjoying it, but also going to be dealing with something at the time.
Yeah, I think all of that's super important. Like going back to education, exactly. It's not that you're putting fear in mothers, you're giving them the information that they need to have, especially when you're, I feel like a lot of times people go into labor and delivery and then all of these things are thrown at them and they're like, wait, you want me to process that on top of being in labor? I can't make decisions right now. True. And also, like you said, give yourself time to heal. Postpartum definitely goes longer than 1 year, like they say. It goes for, I feel like it pretty much goes to your kids like 18, because you're going to have more kids coming and helping you. Yeah. You're constantly mothering no matter what.
Yeah, so true.
And last question for you, where can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah, for sure. So I am on Instagram. It's _to_the_blue_. And like, I like to get like I'm open to messages or comments, whatever, but like, I'm always an ear for any of my friends, because a couple of people are pregnant now and like I never feel like it's a burden if someone asks me questions. If anything, I get excited and I'm like, oh yeah, it's like okay, well. So yeah, feel free to reach out whenever. Like I'm always up to replying to anything and everyone because I feel like everyone should get a voice and should be heard.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for coming on, Al. I super appreciate it. And just being able to hear your story and hear your experience. And obviously, Atlas is one of our top baby names in the future. So, love the name.
We want to thank Al so much for coming on the podcast. If you are interested in reaching out to Al, you can find her on Instagram at _to_the_blue_. She also has her business on there, and she is just so freaking lovely, and we appreciate her coming on and telling us about, you know, her C-section experience and what healing from that has been like, and being a new mom and figuring out what that experience is like, especially during COVID. So thank you so much, Elle, for coming on. If anyone's interested in also coming on the podcast and sharing your story, it is totally free, and you can actually email us at hello@theonuscollaborative.com, and we'd love to set up a time and date to do that with you. And if you are a provider that would like to come on, know that you can email us at hello@theonuscollaborative.com and get signed up for our directory, and then we would love to have you on. All right, thanks everyone. We'll see you all next week. Bye.